Turn to Genesis 22. This is a very familiar, one of the most familiar, well-loved stories in the entire Bible, where Abraham offered Isaac his son. many years ago, when I was a teenage boy, we had state youth rallies. And one year it was at Airport Church, and I was the youth rally president, and so I was in charge of the program, and we had a contest. We had every church represented, had one of their youth represent their church, and would ask Bible questions, and you'd be eliminated along the way. We got down to two finalists, and the final question had something to do about, it was a trick question, or so I thought it was a trick question. I'm just a kid, you know. Something about Abraham offering Isaac. And one of them tried to answer it, and I said, no, he didn't go through with it. Abraham didn't offer Isaac. Of course, one of the older preachers stood up. He said, I'm sorry to tell you this, Brother President Howard, but Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac. In God's eyes, he did it. So I had to come up with another question to figure out who was going to be the winner of that. And so, you know the story. God said, I want you to take your son up on Mount Moriah, offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Can you imagine taking one of your children, and they don't really know what you're going to do, but they're traveling with you. They know you're going to make a sacrifice. And so you're helping to carry everything, the wood and all the things involved in the sacrifice. And you reach a certain point, and Abraham tells his servants this, you stay here. It's going to be hard for me not to preach the whole story, but I'm trying to get just a little part of it. He told his servants, you stay here, me and my son will go, and both of us will come back. A statement of faith. Even though he thought he might have to actually go through with it. They go up to the mountain, and I'll pick up here in verse 4 of chapter 22. By the way, my sermon title is... I'm getting ready to turn 70 in October, and I'm thinking a lot about older age. And so I'm not old yet. I have a few more months. Now, I know some of you think otherwise. But I'm not going to call myself old until I'm at least 70. Now, Mike says it's actually 75 or 80. But this thought came to me, and I'm only going to be able to deal with Abraham tonight because of time. But I developed what might be a series of sermons on godly advice from godly old men in the Bible. There's actually quite a few examples. There's, of course, David. There's Jacob to his sons. There's Paul to Timothy. There's the Apostle John in his old age. There's a lot of examples you can use, you preachers and Bible teachers, if you want to develop it. But the older I get, sometimes I think the less advice I have to give. But I find people coming to me for advice. They just suppose that as you get older, you should get wiser. And one of the youngest man of Job's friends in the book of Job, he waited till the older men offered their poor advice. Job called them, what do you call them, poor physicians? Miserable comforters. So finally, this younger guy speaks up, and he says, you know what I found? Old men are not always wise. And that is true, isn't it? If you're foolish all through your life, you're going to be a foolish old man. But I found people ask my advice more often now, and I hope I have something wise to say, something good, beneficial to help them. But Abraham offered some wonderful advice to his son Isaac in the midst of this story that I just want to share with you tonight. Verse 4, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son. Now, as Mike and I do in our Truth Be Told sessions, always looking for Christ in the Old Testament, if you start digging in this story, you'll come up with about a dozen or so things, types, pictures of Christ. Here's one of them. The wood, the means of sacrifice, was laid on the back of Isaac, just like the cross was laid on the back of Jesus. And then later we'll get to where they got there, and he laid Isaac on the wood, just like Jesus was laid on the wood of the cross. Just a lot of these things jump out at you if you'll let them. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Now, the first piece of advice that Abraham offered to his son Isaac was that God will provide. Now, in this case, a lamb, a sacrifice. But let's stop short of there. One of the most important truths for you to learn in life, trust me, this is one thing I've learned in all these years. God will provide. Amen. He is the great provider. Now, he may not provide what you want him to provide, but he is a good father who knows how to give good gifts to his children, and he will provide you what you need and what's best for you. And then our job is to come along and trust that the Lord knows best and accept what he provides, knowing it's for my good. That may be, would you say, in the top 10, top 5 maybe, important things to learn in life. Trust the Lord that he will provide what I need, maybe not what I want. And if I trust him, he will give me the thing that will help me the most in life. To be a better father, a better wife, better parent, a better child, a better church member, a better mate. Just whatever your office or job is in life, God will provide. But in this case, he says, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Now, are you jumping ahead in your mind 2,000 years into the future, where God did provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering? When John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," John the Baptist, I'm sure, knew the words of Abraham very well, and I'm convinced he may have been thinking about this very story when he saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb." And in his mind, he went back 2,000 years to where Abraham told his son, God will provide for himself. Not just God will provide a lamb, God will provide for himself a lamb. That's why John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." God provided himself a lamb, and that lamb died for your sins on the cross of Calvary so that his blood might be provided for the forgiveness of your sins, for the gift of eternal life, for coming into a relationship with God the Father, have Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit as your guide, the fellowship of fellow Christians. God provides all those things for you through the Lamb that he chose, that he provided as an offering. So this is such a wonderful picture of Christ. Abraham is advising his son, not just about the moment. He's providing his son advice for his entire life. God will provide if you'll just trust him. And God did, both in Isaac's case and in our case with Christ. Then they came to the place which God had told him. You didn't tell me these phones close up on you, did you? Here we go. You did tell me. They came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Can you put yourself in his place? Can you see yourself actually lifting that knife and not hesitating? And I believe Abraham was ready to plunge that knife into his son. Now, what is a burnt offering in the Bible? It's not just a one-time stab. You start cutting that offering up into pieces, and you set that wood on fire, and you burn that sacrifice. He was ready to go through that whole process when God stopped him. Because Hebrews 11 says he believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead if he actually killed him. Because he believed that all the promises depended on Isaac being alive. And so that's the faith of Abraham. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." In God's eyes, he did not withhold him. Abraham lifted his eyes, looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. This idea of substitution is found in this story also. Christ took our place. God was ready to plunge the knife of his wrath against sin into us. Christ took our place and died instead. Just a lot of types of Christ in this story. Abraham called the name of the place. What does your Bible say? Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? What does it mean? The Lord will provide. You know what it literally means? Jireh means to see. And the idea is that the Lord will see, but you carry it to the next step. The Lord will see to it. So when the Lord sees a need in your life, he doesn't just stop and take notice of it. He sees to it. He provides the answer to what he sees. A lot of times we see needs around us. We either feel like we can't do anything about it, or we don't have time, or we don't want to, or many reasons why we don't carry through with it. But when God sees something, he sees to it that it will be taken care of and provided for. And so Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So I want to say to you again, in your life, have you looked to the Lord to provide the answers to your need? Are you seeking every other solution? Are you asking advice from everybody else, which sometimes is not bad if they give godly advice? But are you looking to the one who has the permanent and solid and best solution? Your Father who loves you and provided his son for you, and provides grace and wisdom and mercy and forgiveness to you. All these provisions that God bestows upon us. I want to pay attention to the last part of this verse 14. In the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now let that carry forward. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Mount Moriah it was provided. Mount Sinai it was provided. Mount Zion it was provided. And especially Mount Calvary. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And it was 2,000 years later. God provided for you a way of escape a way to overcome the world, a way for you to deal with your problems, a way for you to heal your marriage, a way for you to have a proper relationship with your children. I mean, these are all part and parcel of what God can provide by His mercy and grace in your life, if you'll but look to Him. Because you see, when Abraham said, God will provide, he was not saying that when he was in a condition of rebellion. He was in a condition of seeking God's will, following after the Lord in his life. And as a result, he could say with confidence, the Lord will provide. Sometimes we want the Lord to provide an escape or solution for what we're going through, but we're living in rebellion. So we're basically saying, I can rebel against God and not have a desire to follow His will in my life, but I still want Him to bail me out. I want Him to provide for me. I want Him to take care of this. And those two things are out of order with each other. And so Abraham was in a position to say it because he was desiring to do God's will in his life. We could even go forward from Mount Calvary and say, in the Mount of Olives, he will provide at his return. We could even go forward from there, where John in Revelation 21 was taken up to a great high mountain and shown the bride, the Lamb's wife, the New Jerusalem. So even in that great and high mountain, the Lord will provide a place for His bride in the future all along. And so the message is real simple. The advice that Abraham gave his son is the advice I give to all of you. God can, has, and will provide for you. First, you need to recognize the need for His provision. And all of us have a need for His provision, trust me. Especially if it is for that initial step of repentance and faith, of turning from yourself and giving yourself to Him. Because the real solution often is getting myself cleaned up with the Lord and getting myself in good shape with Him, so that the further provisions can come my way. But if I don't take care of that first part, then why should I expect the rest of the provisions to come my way? I pray the Lord will provide whatever your need might be in your life tonight. Amen. Brother Cliff. Amen.